Well, turn to Philippians chapter 4. While you're getting to chapter 4, I want Marlene to put up a picture. Look at that guy. Does he look happy?
He looks lucky.
Yeah, he looks lucky. Well, I got to tell you, he's a pretty happy guy. This is right about, I'm not absolutely sure this picture is exactly on Thanksgiving, but it's very close to the first Thanksgiving that Lisa and I had together. And we were at her grandma and grandpa Blake's house. I know that because I remember the wallpaper, and I also see Uncle Don peeking over our shoulder there, the picture behind us. Somebody snapped that, and we still have that picture. And Grandma Blake used to make the most amazing Thanksgiving feast. The best part was the squirrel with squirrel gravy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, she had a whole lot of stuff there, but the squirrel and the squirrel gravy was just amazing. I'm pretty sure we had other things, but I just remember the squirrel and the squirrel gravy. Now, y'all are thinking, come on, man, you're kidding me. No, that's one lucky hillbilly right there. That's one happy hillbilly, newly married to the most beautiful woman on the planet for me. She just was so good to be with. And, of course, you know, you're newly married, so you're already pretty happy because you're getting to snuggle a lot. And yeah, it was good. I think that might have been the best Thanksgiving of my life. I just asked you, would you like to have the best Thanksgiving of your life? You know, I've experienced other great Thanksgivings too. I have lots of memories. Do y'all have memories of Thanksgivings and stuff in the past, days that were good? I have some good memories. One of my favorite memories is we used to go, some of you know what I'm talking about. You have a tradition, but then eventually it just doesn't happen anymore. When all of the bowler boys, that's all the boys on the bowler side of the family, B-O-L-A-R, that was my mama's side. We would go to Dayton every year, and we would go to my Uncle Richard's house, and we would have a big Thanksgiving spread. And that was before, you know, and you can take that picture down now, but thank you, Marlene. That was before we, you know, all got grown up. When all the boys grew up, and we had one girl cousin, poor thing, a bunch of boys and one girl. We'd go over there every year. We'd have so much fun, and we always played the annual Turkey Bowl. So a bunch of boys playing football. And there isn't a time when I see the bowler boys, that side of the family, when it doesn't come up about me and my cousin Mark, when we came in real quick on Todd, my cousin Todd, and we came at him, we had him. He had the ball, and we had him until he ducked. And he was already a little shorter than the rest of us for whatever reason. He was real stocky, and he ducked, and Mark and I, bam, head to head. I mean, we hit hard. That explains so much, yeah. And then we fell backwards and laid there for a long time while Todd ran unobstructed to get a touchdown. And then they laughed, and they laughed. I don't remember most of their laughing because I was still kind of out of it. I mean, we hit hard. So we were, actually, last summer, I went to my Uncle John's funeral. And there was the bowler boys, and there was Mark. Todd didn't make it. He was living in Florida. But the rest of the family talked about the time that Mark and I hit heads. It's what you do, isn't it? And actually, it's a fun memory. Doesn't hurt as much now. So here's the thing. What if you could have a better Thanksgiving this year than any year you remember up till now? Now, some of you are immediately thinking back and you're remembering stuff and you're thinking, I don't think so. You don't know how good, and then you've got it pictured in your mind. You don't know how good it was when, and then you've got this time. But would you like to make this the best Thanksgiving of your life? If you could? Yeah, but you don't know how impossible that is, Pastor Tim. Oh, watch out. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, read along with me. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Everybody say, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In this passage, there are clues to increased thanksgiving. Increased thanksgiving. Where's Marlene? Somebody go find Marlene. Make sure she does not leave. If you can. Hog tie her. Kidnapper. You can take her. Maybe you should go. We hear this rattling around in the hallway. Many of you will remember over the years, I've said this many times when it was Thanksgiving. It's not Thanksgiving until it's Thanksgiving. It's not Thanksgiving until it's Thanksgiving. You can be thankful in your heart, but it's got to get outside of just, you know, back of your mind, a little bit in your heart. It's got to come out. It's Thanksgiving when thanks has been given. You may think that you can't possibly have a better Thanksgiving this year than any time in the past because your circumstances have changed. And so therefore, it's not possible. But I believe this one has potential because of just a couple of quick ideas I want to share with you this morning. So let's take a look at some things that might make this Thanksgiving spectacular. Now, let me just ask this. Are any of you just a little bit anxious about what's going to happen this week? Some of you have meals to prepare. Yeah, I haven't figured that out yet. I'm just a little anxious maybe about what's going to happen. You got food preparation, maybe travel. I know some people just get anxious when you say travel. They don't want to go anywhere. They don't. Oh, man, I'm getting a little anxious. How about maybe seeing certain people you haven't seen in a while? Maybe seeing certain people you haven't wanted to see in a while. I'm getting anxious. You're making me anxious, Pastor Tim. I know, that's the point. But it's easy to say, like Paul did, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Wow. That's a challenge, isn't it? But I have good news for you. God did not raise you to live in anxiety. And you need to be aware of it. What is the word that I have a word in mind. See if you can guess it. It's the word that we don't say anxiety as much as we used to. We just have this other word. Oh, say it loud. Stress. I saw her mouth it. Stress. Everybody's running around trying to avoid stress. I'm not going to preach the message that I have on stress where you shouldn't avoid stress. That's another message. But I can tell you that God does not want you anxious, and therefore God does not want you stressed. So Paul just told us to stop stressing out. Can you believe he did that? Who does he think he is? Just saying, you guys, stop stressing out. You stop. Just stop that. Don't you be stressing out. Who does he think he is to talk like that to those poor Philippian people? Just one problem. It wasn't Paul who said that. It's the Holy Ghost. What if Holy Ghost says to you, stop stressing? What if Holy Ghost says you don't need to be stressing like that? What if Holy Ghost wants you to live stress-free? What? A stress-free life? Is that even possible? All scriptures are inspired by God. So if God inspired that, he must want to help you with stress. And here's the question. Is this a request from God or a command? Is he saying you probably shouldn't stress out, or is he saying just don't do it? As if you can just don't do it. As if it's easy to just don't do it. God, that's not fair. You don't know what it's like being me. Yeah, it's not like he ever was, you know, in a situation where people wanted to stone him or hang him on a tree. How many of you have had people around you wanting to stone you or hang you on a cross? Oh, none of you. I saw one in the back. Don't blame his brother and sister at all. Okay. Here's the thing. I get it. And it's not like we want stress. It's not like we're trying to put ourselves in a position of stress. But listen to another verse about anxiousness. Well, first this verse. Let me give you this one. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So when God says, I command you not to stress, it's not so he can put a burden on you. So now you can stress about not stressing. Right? I'm so stressed out. Why? Oh, because God told me not to stress, and I'm just trying so hard to do it. This is so hard. Do you know the difference between a demand and a command? I'll sum it up real simple. When someone makes a demand of you, they're asking for you to provide them with something. They want something from you. But when someone gives you a command, that means co-working with you. So when God commands you, he's not telling you to do something you can't do. Maybe you can't do it on your own, but you can do it because he is commanding you. That means he's coming alongside of you. So when God gives you a command, you ought to go, oh, this is good. This is so good. Thank you for commanding me to do that. Because it means he's about to join in with you. He's about to join in with you. Come on. That's a deal right there. God's not just standing up in heaven going, okay, now you do this and you do this and you do this and you do this. He's like, let's do this. Let's do this. That's why his commandments are not burdensome, because right there he is with us, working with us. And remember, God needs nothing from us, so he's not going to make demands of you. He doesn't need you to do something. Like, he's not demanding that you worship him so that people will see you worshiping him so that he can feel good about himself. If he commands us to worship him, it's because he wants to do something in us and to us and through us when we worship him. That's powerful. So you're like, well, I don't like lifting my hands. Yes, you do. You just don't know it yet. And God will help you. God will help you. So do you think God spends a lot of time asking us to do the impossible? Well, actually, he kind of does, doesn't he? But it's not the impossible, because it's possible with him with us. His commands are therefore not burdensome. So some of you are thinking, where are you going with this, Pastor Tim? I'm getting there. Just look at your neighbor and say, he's getting there. He's getting there. In this text we read, it says, give thanks in everything, with everything. There's a difference, you know, giving thanks for something and giving thanks in something. Sometimes it doesn't look like it's going to work out, but But he's commanding you to be thankful in, not for. So, I don't need to enter into prayer and supplication for things that are bad ideas. Like, you know, I know once in a while you're looking at somebody thinking, oh, Lord, can I kill him now? Can I just kill him now? Especially the wives. I guess I want to kill him now. That's not, don't enter into prayer and supplication for that. You can't pray for everything, but you can pray in everything, prayer and supplication, in all things. But part of leaving anxiety, the place of anxiety, is that recognition that we don't have to be thankful for everything. So you don't have to be thankful for everything. Don't get anxious about it. Now, this word supplication, we're used to prayer, but supplication's a little different too. Here's another way to translate the word supplication. And this is going to get good in just a couple of seconds here, so just let me keep laying these foundation pieces. Supplication is that state of petition. Sometimes the reason you're so stressed is because you're carrying it all by yourself. You think you got to do it. You think God's wanting you to do it, and you better do it. And if I don't get this done, and da 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 da, and you're putting this heaviness on yourself, and you're stressing yourself out. Petition is another word for supplication. Have you ever signed a petition? Are you the only one on the petition when you sign it? Oh. So maybe we can have prayer and petition where other people are praying with us, and in the process of that, it helps us with our stress. What if you got some people praying with you about this Thursday's Thanksgiving Day that you're just freaking out about? Because you know who's going to be there. Maybe you need to just put it to prayer and petition and decide not for, but in all things. You're going to do that. But here's the thing that I found most interesting. I almost called this message with Thanksgiving. Do you know how some things take an extra ingredient before they work right? They've got these materials that you pour. They're pourable and they turn into something solid. But they have to have the right final element put in them before you and mixed in before you pour them, or they won't solidify. That's what Thanksgiving is in today's text. Thanksgiving, with Thanksgiving, your prayers and supplications take you to a place where no anxiety can hold on to you. Let me say that again. You got to get this in your head. Your prayers and supplication with Thanksgiving added to it solidifies everything so that you can stop stressing. So, if you will, Thanksgiving is the entrance ramp onto the highway of peace with God, which passes all understanding, which was in this verse, in the context, and that it will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Wow. And all I need is one additive, because I know you're already praying, and maybe you could expand that out to a few friends, and that would help. But most of all, are you thankful? Are Americans generally thankful? Let's just spread it out to a larger group of people. Are Americans generally thankful? I think there's a large group of people that are fairly thankful. I think there are a snotty, elite group of people who aren't thankful for anything in our country. They feel like they're owed everything, so they can't be thankful for anything, and they are going to have stress always. They're going to be stressed out. 1 Timothy 2:1. I almost jumped to this one a little bit ago, but I'm jumping to it now. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, there we are, that word again, prayers, intercessions, adding that, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Wow. Do you thank God for all the people around you? No, that one needs shot. No, seriously, it's hard sometimes, isn't it? It's hard. Paul recommended and demonstrated gratitude in almost everything he did. His writings are full of him talking about thanking, and then he says at the end of his letters, he talks about all these people that we should recognize, and he's thankful. Do you thank God for the people that are around you? Paul goes on to say, verse 2, that was 1 Timothy 2:1. Here's verse 2. Thankful for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that they may lead a quiet, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. This Thanksgiving thing has power that we don't recognize sometimes. We're not realizing how it can transform and change a situation, because we move from grumpy and disappointed and frustrated to a place where we begin to thank God. And as we are thanking God, we aren't thinking about what's stressing us out. And we change our attitude as we move to a different altitude, because we're thanking God, not sitting around having a pity party. Now look, you guys have got a lot to be thankful for. First of all, there's padded seats today. When I was a kid, we didn't get out padded seats. No. We didn't have air conditioning either. We don't need air conditioning today, but this place has air conditioning. Come on. Come on. You drove here. You didn't walk here. And I'll bet you most of you, if not all of you, had heaters that worked. It wasn't a wagon where you had to smell horse gas and huddle. I see them, by the way. I get to go to my son's house, and I see these people in little wagons and buggies once in a while in the wintertime, and I think to myself, oh my goodness, so glad I'm not Amish. Wow. I got up this morning and there was hot water coming out of a thing in this thing they call a shower. It was nice. It felt so good. Yeah. We could go on and on and on for so many things that we have to be thankful for. This makes me crazy. We have so much to be, Americans especially. My goodness, why aren't you thankful? You're in America. You could be in some country, someplace where my preaching could get you killed. And me too. All this Thanksgiving is connected to a stress-free lifestyle. Now, giving thanks to God is key. We start there. But could it be possible that giving thanks or expressing gratitude, to those around us could also play a role in us becoming more stress-free? Let me get this thought in your head. What if not only giving God thanks helps you become less stressed, but what if thanking others around you has the ability to make you less stressed? By the way, have you ever thanked a waitress who was doing her best, but it was really crummy? I have. Changes the atmosphere. Saying thank you to a waitress sometimes when you know she's going through a lot, say, look, I know things are kind of crazy. I know the kitchen was holding my food up and now it's cold. I'm not mad. Thank you for trying your best. And all of a sudden, just, I can see the stress come off of her. Wow. So think about this verse. I've brought this up before, but I want to bring it up especially this Thanksgiving because I want you to have the best Thanksgiving you've ever had. Matthew 25, verse 40 says, "And the king will answer and say to them, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of one of these, my brethren, you did it to me." You want to thank God more? Do that. But thank the people around you. Be thankful toward them. Have an attitude of gratitude toward them. And in so doing, and as much as you've done it for the least of them, you've done it for him. I know Black Friday's coming up. I know some people will be tackling each other to get certain deals. But maybe when things don't quite work out, you just need to show gratitude for the fact that you even have a shot at that special deal. We can increase our level of thanksgiving just by trying to have an attitude of gratitude about everything. There is so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. Here's one more idea. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 15 through 18 says something very interesting. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. By the way, did some of you hear me singing in the Spirit this morning? Mm-hmm. That's valuable when we're worshiping. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your, are you ready? At your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say. For indeed, you give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank God that I speak with tongues more than y'all. That was the hillbilly version, y'all. Speaking in tongues is thanksgiving. I've mentioned this before when I preach on Thanksgiving, but this is a big deal. And in context, this is amazing. Paul was making a statement that he was more thankful than everybody else. Is that exactly what he meant? I don't know for sure, but it was really interesting to think about. If speaking in tongues is thanksgiving, if praying in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit is thanksgiving, then we ought to be giving more thanks. And you know what? You can do that. You can get flat out loud in the car and nobody will even notice. I prayed on the way in the Spirit, most of the way here today. Except for that one time when I have to yell at that guy. No, just kidding. Thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude, can change so much. And it lifts you up and it lifts those around you up. And the stress gets lifted off. And when you don't know how else or what else to do, begin to pray in the Spirit. And as you pray in the Spirit, you will feel the stress lifting off. And pray until you do. Pray in the Spirit until you do. So I think tongue talkers need to do more tongue talking. I just think, maybe you're not like me. There was more tongue talking going on when I first got saved than I seem like I see nowadays. The Jesus freaks were all about speaking in tongues. And I think we could see more of that. You say, well, I don't have that gift. You want it? How would you like to have the best Thanksgiving ever? What if I could get you praying in the Spirit in just a few minutes? And I can. I believe I can. Now, there's been a few people that didn't quite. I'm not going to say anything, but I'm working on one right now, and I'm giving them lots of room. But I will just say this. If they just let whatever comes out flow out as thanksgiving, let it just flow out as thanksgiving. Just let it go. God's going to like it. He's going to like it a lot. If you take the things that I've just mentioned this morning and you begin to activate them, I believe this could be the best Thanksgiving of your life. And if you activate this into your daily life, like a seed, it has potential to grow. You could become one of the most happy, stress-free, positive, thankful, grateful, therefore kind, loving, encouraging people on the planet because you're trying to find something to thank God for, not something to yell at the devil about. And there's a lot of people spend way too much time yelling at the devil instead of thanking God. You want to make the devil crazy, you just keep thanking God. He will flee from you. And this habit of being thankful, this habit of being thankful, being thankful, being thankful, pretty soon it makes it impossible for you not to have better days, better weeks, better months, better holidays, better engagements with other people. It's got so much potential. So, in order to make sure that you get off to a good start, we're going to thank some people right now. Now, if you're waiting for me to do it all, you've missed the point. There's probably someone you could thank. I could say one thing, and I think I could get a whole bunch of people to run up here. But then the people they'd be thanking would be like, oh, yeah, he just did that. I might bait the hook anyway here in a second. But first thing I want to do is I have a card. Marlene, come here. I've been waiting all fall to do this.
Oh, got time to plan, huh?
Like you ever saw me do that before. So most of you know that Joan was the secretary here forever, longer than I've been here. And then we had a little short period of time where Corey was taking care of bookwork and all those duties, and I really, secretary is not a fair thing. It's called pastor herder or something like that. And then when Corey had to step away, Marlene became that person, my right hand, somebody who was there a lot. And then now she stepped away, and now Kurt is like, boy, I had no idea what those women did. But anyway, I have been wanting to give you a gift card and a nice card that expresses my appreciation for your time of helping. She got up a little bit of a paycheck while she was here, but to tell you the truth, she worked way harder than that paycheck was worth and organized things and still is organizing things. And so it's kind of and because you had to quit when you did and we made an exchange, you also didn't get a Christmas bonus this year. And to tell you the truth, neither of us got a Christmas bonus last year, but that won't be a problem this year. But Christmas bonus, a thank you, a nice card with, you'll see how the amount is. And I think we ought to all express our appreciation to Marlene for all of her help over the little bit of time that she did that. Thank you. You can, no, it's not going to explode, no. Now, this message has a golden opportunity for some of you. You can't talk long, but I want you to come and express some short bit of thanksgiving to someone, for someone. Can you do it? I got one. Come on, this is going to be easier than anything you've ever been asked to do. There's so much opportunity here. I don't care if we take 40 or 50 of you. I don't even, we got that many here. Okay.
I just want to say I'm done.
Oh, sorry.
I know I'm louder than that. You know.
And I'm, by the way, I'm off limits. Can't thank me. Okay.
I just want to thank, like, Joan. When I went to Scandinavia last year, and the plane was, we got to Chicago, and it was delayed, and it was delayed, and she was supposed to pick me up in Detroit, and it was delayed, and, you know, so finally we got over there, and she got me home, but I had to keep texting her, oh, another hour, no, two more hours, no, just, so it was a disaster, but she went ahead and did that, and I also had a procedure down in Lima, and they told me I couldn't drive home, and I couldn't get anybody because it was during the week, so I had, and Joan actually came to my house in Van Wert, drove me to Lima, then back to my house in Van Wert, and then came back here, so.
Right, yay. And while I'm thinking of it, speaking of driving, Joyce helped get the kids back from camp this year, and I am thankful.
Well, I a load full of thanks for one of our unsung heroes around here, and she's standing next to me. Jeanette does a lot of behind-the-scenes things. She's the one doing cleaning back there that a lot of people don't want to do in the restrooms and such. And well, she does more than that, but she's just awesome.
Yay! Come on. Come on, you're missing your opportunity.
I want to thank Crystal for coming and doing the ministry of the school. It's so great. Also, I want to thank the ministry of the musicians or the music here. God has blessed me so many ways with that, and just thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, come on. Keep them coming. Come on.
I want to be thankful for John Pfeiffer. He has been amazing with his ministry on Tuesday nights with our class. And also with the one-on-ones talks that I've had with John to guide me in my ministry to be able to minister another couple. In fact, I'm going to minister to another couple. And John's given me some good words and stuff, so I'm thankful for John. Also, I am thankful for Mark Schnicki. Mark was amazing Sunday. When Becky woke up to start her car to come to church, Becky got frustrated. Car goes click, 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 click. Man, was I mad. I couldn't get to church. Picked up the phone, AutoZone. Mark was on the other end. Thank you, Mark. God bless you. Because I said, hi, Mark. Becky Lambert, how are you? Frustrated, he couldn't be at church today. Me too. We're in the same boat. He hooked me up with that battery I needed. He was a ray of sunshine for me because when I went in to get it with my husband, he had a smile on his face. And that smile changed my sadness into a smile. Thank you. And I have to tell you a funny. I ended up having to call back to AutoZone and say, hey, my battery doesn't work. I put it in my car. You know when you take off the red cap to the positive? I'm going to turn backwards to tell this one to Mark, and I'm going to blame this one on my husband. My husband actually thought I took the black cap off the negative side. And we hooked all the cables up, you know, and yep. So sorry, Mark, was not your company's fault, was not your fault. I didn't take the negative cap off and we put the connectors on and that was our issue. I mean, Trevor took all his tools out, checking everything, but it was funny. Trevor goes, don't tell them that story. Well, I didn't say anything to Mark. Kyle answered the phone. He handled it very wonderful. Tell Kyle, thank you.
There you go. That's good.
Also, I have to thank my wonderful, beautiful mother. She has shown faith, hope, love. Not only through her journey with cancer, her journey as a single mom, her journey of raising two girls, amazing. What a strong woman. And I just want to say thank you, Mom.
There you go. Good job. By the way, I'll just say this too. You know, some of you men, this might be your opportunity to get some extra points, just saying.
Well, if you don't know me, I'm Zach. That's my grandma Wanda. I thank her for everything. I want to have a place to stay without her. And I want to thank my girlfriend. She helped me through a lot. I mean, a lot of depression and all that. And I want to thank everyone that goes to Wednesday night church that prayed for my knee. And like, it's way better than it was. And I just want to thank all you guys for that. Thank you.
All right. Good deal. You see how God's getting glory in all this?
I just want to thank all you people that's come out to see Mike, for all you that have been praying, whether you've seen him or not. He's taken he has stood up for 4 minutes. Thank God for that, because he's finally through the COVID pneumonia. Supposedly had a slight stroke, but he's improving. And again, I'm expecting him to have full healing, where he's going to dance.
Yeah.
He's going to walk. He's going to drive again and testify.
Amen. Amen. Come on, we can take 2 or 3 more quick ones. It's okay. Not too late.
I just want to thank each and every one of you for my helpers, my teachers. We could not get through this without y'all. You just don't even know how important you are. So thank you all for all your time and effort that you put into this. I love you all.
All right.
We've been through a lot this year and everything, but I just wanted to specifically thank Shirley and Marlene, because one of the crazy things that happened to us is we had our furnace shut down last year. It was fun. And then, I don't know the shortest way to say it. Anyway, we found out that we could get a new furnace and we could get our house all weatherized, but they came to inspect our house. They found mold in the basement, which is super fun. Well, Marlene and Shirley came, and Mike came and talked to Brian. Thank you. And they tackled our basement, and we got, you know, bleachy lungs. It was wonderful. But just the fact that they came out voluntarily, and they made it really fun. And so I just wanted to appreciate you guys in front of everybody. So thank you.
Amen. Did you hear that? The stress was lifted off of her family because of all that stuff in the basement, because a couple of people were willing and able. Come over here where the camera can see you, Mark.
Hi, camera. How are you? Good to see you. They're not here. They're back to a children's church. But I need to say a big thank you to my amazing wife and my amazing son for understanding and being patient with me when I have to work all these hours and I'm not home at nights and weekends the way I want to be, and celebrating with me when I am and having a wonderful time. And I want to thank everybody in here when I show up and you walk up to me and you give me a big hug and you say, it's so good to see you. Because I can promise you it's better or more, I'm more gratified to see you than you are to see me. Just being able to breathe the air in here makes me stronger and a better person because of the presence of God that exists in every one of you. And I want to thank Crystal and her team for the School of Supernatural Ministry. I've been talking to my wife for over 20 years about the fact that she is so much more powerful than she ever gives herself credit for. And finally, she's starting to sense that power within her. And I'm just praying that God will make that grow.
Amen. All right, I would encourage some more to come up, but then I wouldn't get as many thank yous from the rest of you for ending the service. But I want to end with this thought. What if this could be the best Thanksgiving you've ever had, because it's the best Thanksgiving you've ever done? It's the best Thanksgiving you've ever had because it's the most thankful you've ever been. What if you could find a way to express Thanksgiving in the face of everything that could happen? Burnt turkeys? Dropped side dishes? You could literally unlock a better Thanksgiving than you were going to have because you decided that Thanksgiving was something that needed to be given. And maybe you want to just get yourself, maybe you want to get a belt that you can just make little marks on. See how many people you can thank between now and next Sunday. I'd like to hear some testimonies of Thanksgiving things next Sunday. I believe it could happen. And you've already got so much to be thankful for, even if nothing happens. You've got so much to be thankful for. So find those things and let those things explode out of you this week over everybody and through everything. And let's all stand up. We're going to pray. And I really believe that we could have less stress and more of this, not just for Thanksgiving week, but for every week of our lives. You get good at this a year from now, you'll be better. So hold your hands out to receive. Lord, I pray right now that as we're ending this message for today, this opportunity for today, this activation for today, that you will immediately begin to drop into people's lives as their hands are out to receive, Lord. I pray that you will drop into their lives all of the different opportunities for Thanksgiving that they can handle. I pray that they will have thoughts of people they need to thank. And I pray that they will have thoughts of people they don't think they can thank, but they will find a way. And in so doing, with the least of these, they will have done it to you. I pray that as they give thanks to each other, they'll increase their thanksgiving to you. I pray that as they give thanks to you, they will increase their thanksgiving to each other. I pray that thanksgiving will become a way of life, not just a thing we do once in a while where we barely even remember to be thankful. So, Lord, let this be a wonderful, amazing week as people prepare to celebrate with family and to give you thanks. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.